All right, folks, how about a little Saturday session? Let me share this one out. Hope you guys can join us for this Saturday session. If not, if you're enjoying the replay after, we appreciate your support. I'm sending this one out to Twitter. If you guys could do me a favor, retweet, share this one, spread this message far and wide. Let's get the good folks in here. Saturday, midday, not a time that we normally go live, and going to take advantage of this opportunity to run it up with you guys. We have XLM and XDC pumping. And we're going to show you guys some crazy TA charts that take XRP to $3 by August. That is the title, XLM and XDC Pump, XRP, $3 XRP by August. So we're going to get this session rolling, folks. I wanted to make a couple quick announcements, though, before we get started. This coming week, we're going to have the CEO of Uphold, Simon McLaughlin, who's going to be coming by for an interview. So really looking forward to that conversation. If you guys have any questions that you want me to ask the CEO of Uphold, an exchange that we've all been using to get our XRP, right? One of the few exchanges that had XRP available for the XRP army through this whole lawsuit was Uphold. And so I can't wait to thank Simon personally, but then also get the lowdown on what's going on with Uphold, what's next. And if you guys have any other questions that you would like me to ask Simon, just let me know. You guys can reach me at my website. You guys can drop a comment down below. Thank you so much for tuning in. And the second announcement that I had to make too was our Discord weekly call is going to be at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time today. So for those of you that are on the Discord, or for those of you that are considering, if you want to get in, you have a few hours before we're going to have our party in the Discord at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we have these weekly calls every Saturday, normally at 8:30 in the morning. But this day, I was doing some family activities in the morning. And so we're going to have ourselves a little session here at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So it's all over at my website, ZachRichter.com. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get started, folks. What do you say? XLM, XDC pumping, $3 XRP by August. Sounds a little fun to me. Let's run it up. Please share this one far and wide. And if you appreciate what we're doing here, smash that thumbs up for me. Let's get it started. So we look here, Stellar. Starting off with our favorite number two, definitely isn't number one, not financial advice. XLM is my number two, holding up to about 16 cents at the time of this recording. Now, we nearly broke about 18 cents, and that was after a month ago. We were trading at the 8 cent level, about 8.5 cents just a month ago. And then you see what took place on the 13th of July, that date that we'll never forget in the XRP army. The 13th of July, we get clarity, we get set free, and we take our little buddy XLM along with us. What a joy and a pleasure to see. My XLM bag is doing well right now. So is my XDC bag. Let's take a look here at XDC, pulling that one up. Let's take a look on the monthly time frame, and you can see that this thing just went nuts. You know, trading at about 3 cents here for a while. Now we're up to 5.5 cents for XDC, about 64% in the last month, and this thing's still moving. And so a little bit of excitement here for XLM and XDC. Absolutely love to see it. And this has been a long time coming for us in the XRP community, holding other utility coins like XLM, XDC. I just dropped a little short, and you guys might have seen it. The XLM pump, shared the chart. But then I also reminded folks that we have the most viewed XLM deep dive on YouTube, actually. Has about 57,000 views, I think. And so you guys can go check that out if you guys are looking to get the in-depth breakdown of why I'm so bullish and excited about XLM. We share some of the deep connections. I think I call it Stellar Secrets Revealed. And you guys should definitely go check that out if you haven't already. Great breakdown on XLM and what we expect from that little project. Like I said, it is my number two holding, in full disclosure, not financial advice, XDC being my number three. And, you know, getting in on these assets, XDC, you know, 2 cents, XLM, I think about 7 or 8 cents is when I got in. Now, the thing about XLM too is I've already exited XLM once, and I sold off my XLM and I dumped it all back into XRP. This was 2 years ago when XLM went on a little pump by itself. XLM went on a pump and it didn't take XRP. You know, XRP always brings up XLM, But then in this case, a couple years ago, XLM went on its own, left everyone behind, and I took profits on that trade, and then we dumped it all into XRP, and I was able to scoop up a nice bag of XRP. I have since re-entered on XLM, and the same with XDC as well. At the time of this recording, they're both sitting pretty. But we're just getting started, and so we're going to run through a full update for you guys today. I appreciate everyone for tuning in. If you haven't already, please, you can go to Twitter and retweet out the tweet that I just shared. Please share this YouTube link, TikTok. You guys are with me as well. Let's let everyone know that we're running it up here on a Saturday session. God bless you all. Now let's take a look at the rest of the market. We have Bitcoin trading at about 29,825, 1888 for Ethereum, and XRP at a 75 cents. Taking a look at the sticks here on Bitcoin, you know, teasing below my Bitcoin short. We're watching. I'm still in it. Not financial advice, but watching Bitcoin closely. Now, right on into the update, folks. What are the millionaires doing with their bag? This report here from Unusual Whales, high net worth investors with more than 1 million have their highest allocation into cash per CNBC. Now, this is something that we've been talking about, sitting on some cash as well and just staying liquid so that we can buy up businesses, buy up real estate, and buy up our suppressed digital assets that are going to run the new financial system. We also talk about exiting the system. And so last week, we saw $78 billion exiting the U.S. banking system in 1 week. You know where I've been going. I got my shiny little pet rock right here, and we've been trying to share those weekly specials that we've been running with our Precious Metals affiliates, trying to get them shipped directly to you if that's how you want it. If you want to roll over your 401k retirement account, we can do that as well. But we're talking about exiting the system as well. And so folks are getting out of the markets, and they're moving to money markets. So that's just, you know, basically cash accounts at their brokerage, at their Fidelity, wherever they're at. But then you also have folks that are exiting the system completely. Give me my money, please. And they're taking cash out of the system completely. For us, we've been doing something similar as well. And then we look, speaking on making an exit, unbelievable what's taking place here with Airbnb. Co-founder Joe Gebbia has sold off $893 million of his company's stock during the first half of this year. So we already covered how the CEO of Airbnb dumped a bunch of his stock. Now we have the co-founder dumping a bunch of his stock. And this is in the Airbnb stock that's already been taking a hit. And then we see this Airbnb crisis getting worse. And, you know, I'm still kind of indifferent on it. I go back and forth. I understand why folks don't want an Airbnb running next door in their little peaceful neighborhood. I get it. But then I also don't like the government telling us what we can or can't do with our properties. But in that regard, some cities are already moving. Dallas banning Airbnbs. Most recently, Philadelphia passed, basically new compliance laws for Airbnb. So you have to be licensed. You have to have updated, you know, your basically your house has to be updated as well. So all these additional things. And then we saw Scottsdale, Phoenix, Arizona area doing something similar. That was before the Super Bowl last year, or basically, I guess that was in January of this year, that they, you know, basically upped their standards and, you know, started to get folks on violations or not having their license to run their Airbnb business. And so, of course, the city wants to allow the businesses to thrive if they can get their cut. But then you also have a lot of people that are turning against the Airbnbs. And so this is something to watch closely. And in a separate video, I'm going to put together a piece, I think, for first-time homebuyers, because I think that there's a serious opportunity for first-time homebuyers or folks that are just looking for a new house to look at some of these markets where they have banned Airbnbs, because you're literally going to see potentially thousands of properties in individual cities, individual metros that will be coming online, because these are investors who, you know, can't afford to sit on the property anymore. The whole business model for the property was based off of being able to rent it out Airbnb and collect 3 to 5 times what they would collect on an average monthly rent in that area. So they didn't have that as a backup plan. Right. And this is something that we talk about when we move into the real estate asset class, is making sure that we're going to be able to cash flow no matter where interest rates go, no matter what happens with the market, no matter what happens if, you know, we actually admit that we're in a recession or not. And so many of these Airbnb entrepreneurs, you know, basically went bust here recently when Airbnb is starting to die off. And then with some of their cities starting to ban it, this is an opportunity for those folks looking to, you know, buy in that city to not necessarily buy the property for an investment, because the investor is probably going to be selling off at a premium, thinking that they can still try to squeeze something off of it. But for the first-time homebuyer looking to come in, this could be a good opportunity where, you know, you're not going to rent this out to somebody else because your cap rate wouldn't be worth it. Your cash flow is not going to be significant, but you would be able to get it at a discounted rate from where it was at because of the discrepancy here between being able to rent it out in Airbnb and cash flow the thing and being able to sell it as a single-family home because that's all you can do with it going forward. So we're still watching the disruption within the real estate asset class is absolutely massive. And then this is what we've been talking about, right? When XLM, XDC, XRP start to go, we get to move into the real estate asset class. We get to scale up our business using the profits that are being made here within the digital asset space as we get ready to enter the next bull run. I think it's really important that we all have our exit strategy ready to go and then the reallocation program set for moving into these other asset classes. I'm going to talk more about this at the end of this session. Now let's continue on here, folks. Property values could decline by $800 billion across 9 major U.S. cities over the next 7 years per McKinsey Global Institute. You are seeing metros getting squeezed, but the suburbs of some of these markets are actually growing. Dallas is one of these markets that we just went and visited for our most recent Discord meetup. We were in Dallas, and if you look at the Dallas metro, a lot of people are actually leaving the Dallas metro, but the overall Dallas-Fort Worth metro is still booming. And so folks are getting out of the downtown area, and then they're paying a premium to move to the suburbs. And so you're still seeing dynamics like that in play. But I mean, we're talking about a serious dislocation of wealth that's going to be taking place with McKinsey. You know, McKinsey Global Institute saying $800 billion across 9 major U.S. cities in property value declines. So get yourselves ready, get liquid. Just like the millionaires, you know, they're stacking their cash. We better be ready to move. Now, let's move into the crypto update, folks. We saw something interesting here recently. Adam Cochran shares this. So yesterday, the Southern District of New York randomly filed new files in the old Tether and Poloniex case. The file was that they wanted to depose a crypto trade whose namer was redacted. Look who was in New York City near their office. Is he trying to cut a deal by ratting out others? And so it looks like we have Sam Bankman-Fried in New York, a couple pictures of him. And, you know, I was actually really shocked to see that this guy is just walking the streets, no security. I'm like, dude, you're crazy. After the amount of money that you stole and the amount of fraud that you committed to just be walking through the streets of New York is pretty courageous, I guess, or stupid one way or another. Not that I want to see Sam Bankman-Fried harm, but definitely not suggesting anything like that. But I think that this little kid is into some trouble. But the thing about it for him is that when you pay off the right people, you get taken care of. And so, you know, like Adam Cochran says, is he ratting out others? And this is what's taking place in the whole space, folks, is the great unraveling here of all the manipulation done by the exchanges, which started back in November of last year when FTX went bust. What happened was, is you had CZ trading against Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX. Then you also have Justin Tron in the mix, Justin Sun with Tron, I should say. And then we have Tether, the stablecoin, depegging on Binance as we speak. True USD, another stablecoin that basically they created out of nowhere to keep Binance propped up. So this whole unraveling is still taking place. And this is why we've been warning folks, even in the XRP community, to stay safe right now, because you may be looking to exit out into Tether. You may be looking to use some of these exchanges that are still facing a lot of disruptions, you know, to put it kindly. And we're going to still see a lot more to be cleaned up in this space, but all the more opportunity if you're looking to, you know, buy up these digital assets on the low. You know, these utility coins have broken out, but we're watching the overall macroeconomic space still can squeeze us down lower. So let's be prepared. The good news is that we finally see the United States Congress coming around to passing some legislation. Eleanor Terrett giving us a summary here on the most recent bill that was put forward. Eleanor Terrett says, after spending some time going through the bill and accompanying documents, these are the things that were noteworthy to me. I'd like to note that from a DeFi standpoint, I'm definitely not an expert and would love to hear from those of you who are. Please comment. Let's take another sip of coffee before we look through this. Guys, thank you for joining me today. Appreciate you. And by the way, too, if you aren't already following Eleanor Terrett, she is a must follow, one of the good gals in the space, in the mainstream news, and we absolutely love to see it. Now, the highlights on this one, It says both the SEC and the CFTC would be involved in the joint regulation process whereby the nature of a transaction or the functionality and the level of decentralization will decide whether something is a digital asset, a restricted digital asset, or a digital commodity. Also proposes a safe harbor for exchanges to file a notice of intent to register with the CFTC. In the meantime, if they agree to segregate and protect customer funds and provide agreed upon disclosures, they will not have enforcement action brought against them by the SEC for token sales or failure to register. Provides a regulatory transitional process whereby an entity can come under the oversight of both the SEC and the CFTC, and tokens trading on a venue can trade in a safe harbor until they are notified by either agency the tokens are not digital commodities. Unaccredited investors would be able to participate in initial digital asset offerings under a new exemption. No limitations on purchasing of digital commodities. Creation, and this is what makes me laugh, right? Is this is what came out. We already discussed it, how they're going to allow you to invest up to 10% of your annual income or your net worth in ICOs, essentially, initial coin offerings. And then they say that you can invest an unlimited amount into digital commodities. Like, oh, gee, thanks. I can invest how I want to, how I see fit, how I please. This is just hilarious that in the United States of America, where we are supposed to be the land of the free, we are asking and begging our government to not only provide clarity, but now apparently we need to be asking for permission to invest in digital commodities or an ICO. To me, it's a joke. To me, it offends me as an American, right? Whether or not I want to invest 50% of my annual income in an ICO, that is my investment to make. I can be a degenerate if I want to. That's how we do it in the land of the free. I don't need Gary Gensler or anybody, any three-letter agency to protect me. Thank you very much. And then I can invest as much as I want into digital commodities. Thank you very much. You know, it's like, imagine if they tried to put a limitation on how much you could invest in silver. You can only invest 10% of your annual income in gold or 10% of your net worth in gold. Can you imagine that? What has happened to this country? And you have a lot of folks that are cheering this on. Oh, yay. I get to invest in ICOs. Awesome. Like, what happened to this country, right? I kind of laugh at that, but nonetheless, I guess it's better than nothing, right? It's better than absolutely no clarity. And what I do like to see is that they are giving this safe harbor. They're allowing folks to come on in, just like the SEC says, right? Just come on in. They're actually allowing folks to have a safe harbor. You come into compliance. The SEC is not going to sue you. And they really need to handcuff the SEC here. And they also need to look at the actions that are currently underway with the SEC as well. So, it says the unaccredited investors would be able to participate in initial digital asset offerings under a new exemption. No limitations on purchasing of digital commodities. Thanks. Creation of a CFTC-SEC joint advisory group made up of industry participants that will advise and hold discussions with the regulatory bodies. So it looks like they're going to be creating a joint CFTC and SEC joint advisory group to help and hold advise discussions with the regulatory bodies. And then this would modify the SEC's mission by adding innovation to factors the SEC must consider when issuing a rulemaking. This would amend the Securities Act of 1933, the Securities Act of 1934, and the Investment Advisors Act of 1940. Now, I appreciate that they want the SEC to strive to respect innovation. But this is where we've gotten everything so twisted here in this country now, is that the innovation comes from the private sector. If the government would get the hell out of the way, we would be setting people free, entrepreneurs, capitalists, to start building out products and services that the people need. And the bad actors get exposed in the age of decentralized media. You get put on blast if you do wrong to your customers, to your people, to your community. That's the beautiful thing, is we don't need the SEC or any of these three-letter agencies to protect us. We have the power of the people and decentralized media to put the bad actors on blast. Apparently, Sam Bankman-Fried still feels comfortable walking around the streets in New York, but that's his own prerogative. But the point being is that the bad actors will get weeded out. We will have self-regulation within these free markets. And so, once again, this is progress. This is good. Right? But we can do better. America is about, individual liberties and freedom and allowing people to fail, allowing people to try and maybe not succeed. Not everybody needs a participation trophy. Everybody should have an opportunity to play on a level playing field. And from there, It's on you. It's on you, your team, your family, your business to succeed in life. We can't continue to think that everybody's going to win, everybody needs to be protected by the government, and the innovation needs to come from the government. The government needs to get out of the way. And I know a lot of entrepreneurs, when they speak on politics, like Mark Cuban's an example, he's someone who advocates for the government throwing a bunch of money at tech and a bunch of money into new businesses and, you know, basically investing back into our markets, which is fine and fantastic. You know, we're investing in Ukraine to the tune of $1 billion a week or a few billion per week. We're investing and wasting a bunch of money every single day within our own government. I get that, right? But fundamentally, we need to reset our currency, restructure our debt, and revalue everything. And then we need to figure out what program can be afforded by the government, and or is it even the government's role to get involved? Because I think that what we have is just so much overreach, so much of a beast of the bureaucracy that's in the United States, and they continue to get in the way of the true innovators. So we don't need to suggest innovation to the SEC. We just need them to get out of the way. The market wants innovation, new products, better services, and the entrepreneurs and capitalists will bring it to them. But what are the kids being taught in school right now? Socialism that borders on communism is what is being taught and indoctrinated, brainwashing our youth to not even understanding what a free market is, understanding what made this country great, understanding that we, through a revolution, overtaxes less than 1%. Now, you got taxes 30, 40, 50, 60% plus, depending on the state that you live in. How far gone our country is. It's incredible. But with that being said, we do love to see that Congress is finally getting something together. Not only do they need to give us clarity, but they need to go back and hold these guys accountable that sold out our country, as it was just revealed this week, right? With the Biden bribery, The Biden bribery bombshell. That's what it was. Sorry. The Biden bribery bombshell that we dropped this week. $5 million to the big guy, $5 million to the little guy. What has happened to our country, right? So it's just truly unbelievable. But let's continue on here, folks. Now we see this one from Cowboy Crypto. This is a response by the SEC in the Doquan Terra Labs case. Okay. And they say, quote, this is a response into the most recent ruling from Judge Torres on XRP. They say, quote, contrary to defendants' assertions, much of the Ripple ruling supports the SEC's claims in this case and rejects arguments defendants have raised here. Excuse me. However, with respect to programmatic and other sales, the SEC respectfully avers that Ripple conflicts with and adds baseless requirements to Howey and its progeny. Respectfully, those portions of Ripple were wrongly decided and this court should not follow them. SEC staff is considering the various available avenues for further review and intends to recommend that the SEC seek such review. So it looks like they are considering making an appeal. And my speculation doesn't really matter either way. It does look like they are considering it though. Maybe this is just posturing, but, a lot of the lawyers are in consensus that it's going to be a bold risk, a bold move and a risky one to actually appeal this case, because if they appeal and then lose on that, it's going to be a big, big loss for the SEC and their ability to go after everyone else as well. So I'm very excited to see how this case actually settles up, how it concludes. But as the law of the land is today, we know and understand that XRP has clarity, and it's a beautiful thing to see. Now, let's continue on here. Stuart Alderati says this, Chief General Counsel at Ripple. Talking to someone who still doesn't understand that the token itself is not the security is like explaining to a flat earther that the world is round. Now, I was going to retweet this one, and I was going to say, I think that David Schwartz confirmed that the Earth is round or flat or whatever he found while he was in Antarctica, right? So a little joke there from Stu. We like to see that. And nonetheless, a lot of people, a lot of the Bitcoin maxis, Ethereum maxis, and the mainstream media is still trying to twist this as if this was some sort of loss for Ripple. And people are still trying to say that XRP doesn't have clarity. I'm seeing this in the Twitter spaces. I'm seeing this all over the place where folks are, just misspeaking or not understanding the ruling that just came from the judge. As Brad Gollinghouse stated, the law of the land as it stands today is that XRP in and of itself is not a security. That's done. That's done. And now Congress is trying to classify these assets as digital commodities. So it's done. It's over. That is the law of the land. And the part that the judge sent to trial that said was a securities offering was not XRP sold to investors. It was the investment contract that XRP was sold within. So it's a little nuance there that people are not understanding, that it is not the underlying asset XRP. It is the contract, right? That contract that was printed out, that was signed by the market maker and by Ripple, by the institution and Ripple, by the hundreds of banks and institutions that I believe signed pre-allocation contracts to get XRP on their balance sheet, and Ripple, right? We're about to get the great unveiling of all of these NDAs in regards to Ripple XRP. And we're about to see, you know, what those 1700 contracts were about, because many of them were with market makers and exchanges and whatnot. But then you also have many, like, you know, we always talk about the R3 deal and others where, you know, folks were trying to get their hands on billions of XRP. So folks are still not understanding. They're still trying to FUD us out. It's incredible. They just won't give up on trying to come after the XRP army. And we've remained so strong and so resilient. And so, you know, you still have folks that are saying that XRP is a security without even understanding what this ruling was from the judge. Now, with that being said, guys, let's continue here. What do we have next? We have great progress being made here, shared by Rahul Advani, who is public policy at Ripple. With good progress being made on our MAS, that's the Monetary Authority of Singapore license application, Ripple is more motivated than ever to pursue our vision of revolutionizing cross-border payments and developing tokenization solutions to solve real-world problems. So there you have it. They say we doubled our headcount in Singapore. Ripple continues to expand in APAC, big moves over there, and doubling the headcount. That's massive. While the rest of the space is shutting their doors, closing up shop, Ripple's doubling their headcount, picking up Meitaco for $250 million, throwing $200 million at the lawsuit, and still sitting on $1 billion cash with Clarity. Good place to be, isn't it? Another one from Cowboy Crypto. Ireland is an important puzzle piece to Montenegro. Quote, once the exchange has this Irish license, Ripple wants to passport its services across Europe, Stuart Alderotti told CNBC. Ripple is also going to file an electronic money license application in Ireland. And so you guys recall that they have a partnership with the Bank of Montenegro, Central Bank of Montenegro. And then they also have a deal here in Ireland where they're trying to get their licensing there. And from there on out, what they can do is that they can basically passport all throughout Europe, because the European Union essentially has the same laws throughout the jurisdictions over there in Europe. So big deal in APAC, doubling their headcount in Singapore. When it comes to Europe, we're about to passport across the whole continent. Absolutely major. And then I wanted to highlight this because I find this one really interesting as well. You know, speaking on Ripple partners and what they're doing, B of A Gone Wild buys 137 ounces of gold and 8.8 million ounces of silver on the July contracts so far, plus more records set on July silver. So Bank of America, we talked about them here recently, about how they have a balance sheet problem. The bonds that B of A holds are negative $100 billion. The banks within America hold about negative $600 billion worth of bonds on their balance sheet. So these banks have a huge balance sheet problem just within the bonds that they hold. But then you also have to consider all of the, you know, delinquent mortgages that they hold, all the other bad debt that they hold, right? We could just call it junk debt, right? That these banks hold as well. They have a serious problem, but what are they doing? Bank of America partnered up with Ripple years ago. We heard that they are looking to use XRP after the lawsuit. So I would be assuming when Stuart Alderotti, the chief legal counsel at Ripple, says that banks and institutions are going to now use XRP on-demand liquidity now that the lawsuit is over or concluded, at least on Clarity for XRP, that I would assume that Bank of America would be one of these institutions that has not only picked up some XRP, but they're getting ready to use XRP ODL. But then it's funny that they're also picking up just a record amount of gold and silver contracts here. This is absolutely major. And because we've also been covering out of the vaults earlier this week, we saw 2.2 million ounces of silver drained from the COMEX in one day. And then you're seeing here 137 ounces of gold added by B of A as well. So that's major. It's very interesting to watch what these Ripple partners are doing. And I'm waiting for Bank of America to quite possibly be the first bank within the U.S. to announce that they have XRP on their balance sheet and that they're using it for on-demand liquidity. So waiting on that one. Now, I got a new AC unit in here, and my office was nice and cool, but it's pretty loud, so I turned off my AC. And I was so excited to come in here for my first live stream with my AC running, and you know, it's going to be all cool, and it was cool. But after drinking my coffee and having the AC off for half an hour, what have we been here, live for 30 minutes, we're already breaking a sweat again. So guys, I appreciate you guys for tuning in. If you haven't already, please smash that thumbs up for me, and please don't mind the sweat beads rolling down my face. I appreciate all of you guys for putting up with me in that regard. Now, let's look at some crazy TA as I take a sip of my ice water. Cheers, everyone. So what we're looking at now from Dark Defender. Hi all, XRP is in between the critical support of 77 cents and the crucial resistance of 89 cents. We still follow the historical pattern, and in fact, we are 4 to 5 weeks early. How about that, folks? 4 to 5 weeks early, weekly indicators are all go. As discussed in May, third wave can extend to $3.39 in August. So what do you guys think about that? $3 by August. Incredible. Just absolutely incredible. The move that could be coming our way for not only XRP, but XLM and XDC as well. Now, I wanted to finish up with this one from Baba Cugs before we go into a Q&A session. Make sure you guys start dropping your comments on down below after you smash that thumbs up for me. And let's listen here from Baba Cugs. Something tells me people are going to wish they sold. 98% chance I'm wrong. Just have this gut feeling. Time reveals all. Now, I wanted to speak on this because I think that, you know, this is something that aligns with what we've been warning folks about, is having your exit strategy ready to go, being ready to reallocate, because this thing is going to move absolutely violent. So if we go up to $3 by August or $40 by September, depending on who you ask, right? With the TA guys, you got ranges all the way from $4 all the way up to $40, all the way to $589 per XRP. But what we understand here is that this is going to come violent. It's going to come quickly, and then we're going to get a serious sell-off. And that's why I think that Baba is right to say that many people are going to regret not selling. We are in a bear market. We are in a recession. I have sympathy for that, and I understand that. And so this is why folks haven't even made it this far. They actually sold off their bags already. They had to sell off XRP to feed their family, to pay off their credit cards. Now, if we start to go to $3 by August, $40 by September, whatever kind of party we're going to have, it's going to be fun, but it's going to be short-lived. Major selling pressure is going to pull us back. And so I think that many people are going to be living with the regret, because we could have that major pullback. And then, you know, if we follow the historical charts, we wouldn't be going into a macro bull run until, you know, early next year, basically spring of next year. April is the halving. And, you know, the thing, though, that we have to understand is that that's for the overall cryptocurrency marketplace, right? And I would say for the overall markets as well. The overall markets, like, they don't feel good to me. The only thing that feels good is XRP, XLM, and XDC, because we have clarity and we have massive utility and liquidity that's coming on Ledger every single day. That's in a different reality. As I continue to say, XRP is in its own reality. The rest of the space is not. Does not have clarity, is not in the same space. And so, you know, that's the only part that feels good to me. I feel really good about my silver. You know, I feel really good about gold and silver precious metals investments. I feel really good about utility coins like XRP that have clarity, XLM, XDC that follow behind. I feel really good about those. I feel really good about the business that we're building over with the real estate asset class. I feel really good about my businesses that I run every single day. I do not feel good. I don't feel like we're in the clear when it comes to the rest of the markets. And so that's a key distinction that we have to understand, and why I think that so many people are going to regret not selling off even just a portion of their bag at these prices. Now, let me be clear. Not here to give you financial advice. I'm not here to tell you to sell all your bag at $5. I'm not here to say keep your XRP forever. I just show you guys what I'm doing. So that's the thing with this approach for me, is I'm just trying to share what I'm doing, and I want you guys to be prepared. I don't know what your financial situation is. I don't know how much debt you're in. I don't know the standing of your business, right? And so this is something that you got to sit down with you, your significant other, your business partners, and you have to understand, how are you going to survive till 2025? Because I don't think that we really get out of the chaos and the storm until then. When you look at the politics, when you look at the current events, when you look at the World War events, when you look at the markets, when you look at the Bitcoin halving, when you look at all of the other factors that we're inputting into this grand equation that is our investment hypothesis, it's chaos. And it survived till 2025. And so that's what we need to do. In the meantime, if you need to take some profits off XRP when we go to $3, when we go to $40, I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to take a little bit, just a little sliver, just a little tiny piece of that action that we're going to get. And I know what I'm going to do with it. I have a serious plan for what I'm going to do with it. And I would encourage you guys to sit down and do the same, because the price action's coming violent. And I think that many people are going to get caught off guard. Let's not let that be our community. Now, let's open it up for Q&A. How are you guys doing today? Saturday session. We got about 800 in the chat. What are we doing, guys? YouTube, TikTok, what's up? XRP is alive and well. Yeah, absolutely. XRP to $40 with the laughing face emoji. We'll see what happens, you know. $4 is life-changing. $40 is a little bit more fun. $589 is a lot of fun. You know, for me, what we continue to see is the dollar get devalued. And until we get a reset, restructure, revaluation, like I said, I'm just not feeling comfortable with where these markets are heading, with the current events, the chaos, the internal chaos within this country, the Biden crime family being exposed, Trump set to go on trial in May of next year, right during the heat of the political campaigns. You know, this is internal chaos of a falling empire, external wars, chaos that we're getting involved in as well. We continue to send another Billy to Ukraine every chance we get. And so this is the situation that most Americans face, is how do I survive till 2025, where we could be bringing in another Congress, where we could be bringing in another president, where we could have gone through this reset of our currency, this restructuring of our debt. Until we do it, we can just keep on kicking the can down the road. The problems only get worse and the issues get exacerbated, even larger than they are right now. We just had a huge tick up in the national debt, $32.6 trillion. We're approaching that that number that they love so much. $33 trillion in national debt is going to be approached here soon. Truly incredible. Holding to four digits. There you go. There you go. Reset, nah, not going to happen. Resets are taking place in countries across the planet, so they're already underway. That's not debatable. It's not negotiable. It's already taking place. And what you're seeing right now is that the instruments that have been used to suppress the, you know, gold, silver, XRP, some of these other assets, has kind of come to an end. And so the manipulation, you know, basically is running out. And so that's why you're seeing B of A load up on gold and silver now. And you can only imagine how much XRP they've picked up as well. So it's very interesting to watch this unfold. And even if they haven't taken control of the XRP, they could have just done an options contract to purchase XRP over the next 5 years. This is another thing that they like to do. We just saw the U.S. Mint actually signed a $10 billion options contract to purchase silver. And so you're seeing these institutions, these banks, are signing deals to lock in their supply of these assets, of these commodities that they are going to need to fix the problems on their balance sheet and to run the new financial system, treasury management flows, all the other utilities that come with XRP as well. Another thing that everyone investing in silver should understand, and you guys know, I absolutely love my silver. But something interesting to note with silver that I was just listening to Rick Rule actually this week, is he was talking that only about 16-17% of the new silver supply is actually coming from silver mines. Most of the silver actually comes out of all the other mines, from gold mines, from lithium, nickel mines. It's actually a subsidiary or a secondary, I can't find the exact word, but you guys know what I'm talking about, that comes, a secondary derivative that comes from the mining of all these others as well. And one thing that we've noticed is that the output is getting stressed by countries that are facing chaos, like Peru. Poland's another one, big time silver producer as well. We just saw, you know, Mr. Putin make some statements about Poland. I believe I might be mistaken on that one, but nonetheless, the point being, and then What's taking place too is that the silver is not worth it right now at these prices to recycle. So you actually have a lot of silver that's being destroyed or thrown away with your old phones, with your old devices, old batteries. That's silver that's getting thrown away that's not getting recycled because the price isn't high enough as well. So we saw a 230 million ounce deficit last year, and we're only seeing demand go up. They're actually using more solar in the new, more silver in the new solar panels. And so this is a very interesting setup to watch with silver as well. I'm so bullish on silver. It's just anything under 30 bucks right now for me gets me excited. But the premiums are going up. That's one thing to watch right now, is that the premiums are going up. And as this situation continues, it's going to be more difficult to get. The charts need to speak to you, not the news. I combine the both. We combine the current events, the news, the TA. We put it all in there. And that's why I'm actually in a Bitcoin short right now, not financial advice. Yeah, Zach, love everything that you do, but I don't see $40 by September. That's, it's not a guarantee. It's just some guy on Twitter said it, right? Some TA bro shared the chart. And so that's what it is. But, I don't discount the fact that XRP can go to double digits with ease. This asset, I think, is also going to be running up on a supply shock that's incoming for it as well. Open the XDC chart, Zach. Let's see your face. Yeah, we looked at the XDC chart. By the way, guys, we're going to be doing our Discord weekly call at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you're looking to join our Discord group, you just head on over to my website, ZachRector.com. You sign up for Patreon to get access to Discord. Every Saturday, we have our weekly calls. Usually, they're in the morning, but today, we're doing ours at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So, you have about 2 hours to get into the Discord if you're looking to join us for this session. Why isn't Algorand pumping? Good question. Algorand's one that we do like. I do have a little position in Algo. I've not taken a look at any recent developments that have taken place with Algorand. The last time that I actually saw something from Algorand, it was like one of the groups that was shutting down their operations. It's like, that's not good. But nonetheless, Algorand's still a very interesting project, what they're working on. What platform am I shorting Bitcoin on? KuCoin is where I trade. KuCoin is where I trade. Uphold is where I pick up. See, yeah, Bitcoin hasn't really shown too much, right? It's funny, actually, how much Bitcoin actually crashed after that July 13th pump. Bitcoin went all the way up to about 31,800. But then it quickly crashed back down here below 30K. We're just not seeing much strength in Bitcoin right now. But XRP, XLM, and XDC have still been ripping regardless. Over the last month, up 100% for XLM, up about 60, 70% for XDC. Two spot from Purview. Thank you. Appreciate that, Purview. What exchanges do you use to off-ramp? That's a great question. I've been talking about having options. So, basically, I'm friends again with Coinbase now that they've relisted XRP. And so XRP and a few other exchange, Uphold has been the exchange that we've picked up XRP at, most recently. But we do have Coinbase available once again. But I keep my options open for off-ramping. Uphold, Coinbase, and others. Johnny Crook says, finally get back on a live with you, Zach. Thanks for all you do, brother. I catch up with everything you put out. Who do you think is our biggest institution that got an NDA with Ripple and Reveal in time? Johnny Crook, that's a good question. I think that the big one for me would be the Treasury. That's what I've long been talking about, is that I really think that the best scenario for our country to remain having as much power as it does on the world stage is to have a serious amount of gold on the back end, which hopefully we do. Rosie Rio says we do have the gold still. We need to verify that. We trust you, Rosie. We really are a big fan of you, but we're going to have to verify that, okay? But then also picking up an allocation of XRP, I think, would help prevent World War III and actually bring peace to this world and help the United States remain strong as a country and fiscally as a government and a nation. We have a serious problem. The corporation that hijacked this country ran up this, trillions of dollars in debt, over $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities. And so we're going to have to declare bankruptcy for this corporation. We're going to have to shut it down because it's illegal and unconstitutional. And then we need to reset, restructure, and revalue this currency and everything else, the debt, everything. So until we do that, they're just kicking the can down the road. And that's what I'm expecting to take place into next year. I'm interested to see how quickly the Fed pivots and how hard they pivot. When do they start dropping interest rates again? Is it going to be in the spring? Are they even going to be able to wait till next year? I think that they have already set up the markets, and the markets have been prepared for them to raise interest rates another 2 times this year, which I think a lot of people are in denial about. A lot of people have been in denial about all these interest rate hikes, right? And I think that a lot of people are going to be shocked by that. The biggest institution, though, like I said, the Treasury would be big. R3 deal's big. We already know about that one. I think the R3 is going to, R3 is so massive. I think that you're going to see, though, that JP Morgan and, some of these other big Wall Street types have also tried to pick up some XRP as well. I think when it all gets said and done, they're going to have some on their balance sheet. To me, it makes sense that these institutions, even if they don't want to use ODL, that they just put it on their balance sheet. Now, with the new Basel requirements, they're basically only allowed to hold about 2% in digital assets. I think that will eventually change. And, they also can get exposure to XRP through other entities as well. So it doesn't have to be the main JP Morgan bank that's getting exposure to XRP, right? They could have other entities. It's like we talked about getting XRP into the hands of institutions right now. If institutions are scared to do a deal with Ripple now, and Ripple's, doesn't want to sell the institutions because that's the part of the case that continues on to trial, then they could just basically set up institutions outside the United States, entities that are not located within the U.S., for getting XRP into the hands of these institutions for them to use for on-demand liquidity. The other way that they can do it is by leasing out XRP. And then the other way that they can do it too is just by putting a market maker or an exchange in between Ripple and that institution. Because the judge said that sales to institutions, to market makers, programmatic sales, that was not a securities offering. So basically all Ripple has to do is, they could use a centralized exchange like Coinbase even, or most likely they'll use an OTC market maker to facilitate those transactions. But I think that banks and institutions now have the all clear. We're just waiting for the first institution to say that we're using ODL and we've put XRP on our balance sheet. Why won't Uphold allow users to set a limit above $3.24? They don't want to set themselves up for that. I'm actually going to be having an interview with the CEO of Uphold next week. If you guys have any questions for Simon, you guys can drop them down below, or you can shoot me a message at my website, and I will try to get those questions included in the interview. These exchanges, basically they will only allow you to set a limit order on so high of price, right? I don't really know the exact reasons for that, but I just think that they want to keep their spreads tight, and they don't want to be all over the place with those orders. Because, look at all these exchanges and the glitches that they've had, too. So if XRP gets a glitch and it goes on up, right, I think that there could be, and folks have made a lot of money that way too, right? On some of these exchanges, they've been able to set orders at ridiculous price and they glitch up to that price and they're able to get their position out. But Yeah, I'm interested to talk with the CEO of Uphold about how, you know, they basically got 50x demand on Uphold right after the announcement was made that XRP had clarity. They had 50 times the volume that they normally would, I think actually during the peak of the 2021 bull run, and it was all at once. So that's why it crashed Uphold. That's why it crashed all these exchanges, is that they just couldn't keep up with the demand for XRP. But I'm interested to talk to them about, you know, the stress test that they're running for XRP in the future, because it's one thing that the exchanges are shutting down and couldn't handle XRP going to a dollar. Well, what happens when XRP goes to $2 or $5, $10? And then you have a bunch of selling pressure as well. So I'm interested to talk with Simon about that, how they're preparing themselves for that. It's going to be a nice little interview next week with Simon. Just transferred wrapped XRP for, yeah, be careful, guys. I don't deal with wrapped XRP. You guys shouldn't be playing around. Okay. I shouldn't say it that way, but it just triggers me. Literally, it just triggers me, because don't play around with crap, guys. Get off with all that wrapped XRP, this and that. That's a liability for them that they don't have. They don't have it. That's not true XRP. So don't play around with that crap. Not financial advice. You can do whatever you want. But I'm telling you guys, there's so many damn scams on Lobster. I've put out a whole video on Lobster. You guys can go back and watch that if you want. But we exposed the Lobster scams a long time ago. And I apologize. But the reason why it pisses me off is because that they have taken so much money from folks who are holding XRP and XLM. You know, folks like us that are tapped in, trying to take advantage of the greatest transfer of wealth in world history, talking about all the seized assets that have been placed on Lobster and this and that. And it was a bunch of crap that was pushed by folks that I won't name, but they're very popular folks who pushed this whole idea. The whole thing has been exposed. It was all frauds. It was all scams. And we called it from day one. And it just drives me nuts, because good people who held XRP and XLM traded their precious reserve currencies for crap. And it was just all frauds and scams. It was sick. Arcadius 27 spot Canadian. Thank you, Arcadius. Impressive, Zach. Someone you age got his stuff together. Family business and people in their 50s, 60s taking advantage of your content, learning and growing. Well done, brother. And that's the beautiful thing to see, man, is that we have folks all the way. The youngest person on our Discord, I think, is about 20 years old, all the way up to, I think, we got one or two over 70. I won't expose them, okay? And I like to, you know, get the experience from the elderly within the group, you know, get some of that wisdom. And it's an absolute pleasure to hear from everyone. I talk to blue-collar folks that, you know, just like me, starting with the service business, all the way up to folks that are retired. Hey, Zach, I got $1 million in my portfolio. What should we do next? And I say, well, I'm not here to be your financial advisor, but let's talk about it, you know, and talking to folks on both ends of the spectrum. You got young hustlers, you got folks that are starting up a side hustle, folks that are on, you know, the end of the journey. How do I just protect my bag? And people are able to extract value from our platform. And that's why we keep doing what we do every single day, guys. Appreciate the support. If you guys can do me a big favor, if you haven't already, please smash that thumbs up for me. What are your thoughts on XDC? Yeah, so that's another one. I did an XDC deep dive that I would highly recommend you guys go check out if you're looking to learn more about XDC. I did a slideshow presentation, XDC deep dive. If you put that into the YouTube search bar, it'll pop up. I don't know if that's the most viewed XDC deep dive. I know that we have the most viewed Stellar XLM deep dive, but the XDC deep dive was pretty good as well. You guys can go check that out on YouTube. But the reason why I like that is that they're going after trade finance. They're going after the Ethereum smart contracts, the ease and seamless ability to roll over an ERC-20 token or contract over to XDC makes it such a big utility, a big opportunity there, as we see Ethereum continues to fail, continues to be high gas fees, continues to get more and more centralized through proof of stake. And so the ability to move over, I interviewed Quincy Jones about 2 years ago, and Quincy, he's a developer at Zinfin and working on XDC, XRP, and others. And basically, he told me that you could move over an ERC-20 token to the XDC network in the time it takes to drink a cup of coffee. So I said, cheers, amen to that, because that's the type of utility that we need to get all of these other legitimate projects off of these blockchains that just don't work, you know? So that's absolutely major to see. Now, I see that we got Lily Formosa with a 1999 Euro spot. Thank you, Lily. Zach, could you find out whether the financial institutions are also required to be ISO 222 compliant, including all banks and all exchanges, including Uphold? So Uphold is a broker. It's basically like a prime broker. Uphold goes through dozens of centralized exchanges and then a bunch of other dealers, brokers as well. And that's where they source their liquidity. So they're actually, basically they have deeper liquidity than just an average exchange. And so that's good to see. That's why we like Uphold. But when it comes to like SWIFT, basically 87% of SWIFT member banks were going to be going to ISO 222 messaging standard by 2023. And then by 2025, 100% of SWIFT member banks are supposed to be ISO 222 messaging standard. So by 2025, all of SWIFT is going to be. I think that you're, you know, seeing that FedNow is probably going to be ISO compliant, or I think that it is. Yeah. FedNow is ISO compliant as well. So most of them are. And basically, if you want to be included in the new financial system, you have to adopt the new standards. So it's not, you know, absolutely necessary for everyone in all institutions, but depending on what, you know, organizations you want to be part of, what networks, what liquidity pools you want to be a part of, you're going to have to be ISO compliant. Yeah. So that's why, you know, folks were so, you know, tossing and turning and getting lost in the technical nuance on, is a coin ISO compliant? No, the coin's not ISO compliant. XRP is not ISO compliant. Ripple made RippleNet using ODL ISO compliant. So that's where XRP becomes ISO compliant, is when it's sent through a RippleNet message that is ISO compliant. XLM, XDC, XRP in it of themselves as the ledger functions right now, it's not an ISO compliant message. It's Zinfin that makes XDC ISO compliant. It's Stellar that makes XLM ISO compliant. It's Ripple that makes XRP ISO compliant. Me or you could, I would assume that hypothetically, me and you could make XRP ISO compliant. We would just have to be sending XRP within our own messaging protocol that is ISO compliant, right? So that was a big point of confusion, but at the end of the day, it's the same point. If Ripple's working on making XRP ISO compliant, that's a big deal because we know that 100% of SWIFT member banks are going to be ISO by 2025. We know that all these other institutions, the clearinghouse, Europe, all these payment networks are going to ISO messaging standard. So yeah, it's really important. It's really important. Great question, Lily. Thank you for the super chat. XDC will kill Ethereum. XDC is the real Ethereum killer. Bobby, we agree. Even if it doesn't kill Ethereum, we believe that they're going to take a significant chunk from Ethereum for sure. XDC is really solid. They got a lot of good partnerships. Big fan of the project. It's my number three holding. What about Flare? Flare's been making a lot of promises. We're waiting for some actual products. We're waiting for some actual utility to get unlocked. A lot of promises, a lot of things working that they're working on, but we're still waiting to see more from Flare. Thank you for all the love on TikTok as well, guys. Appreciate all the support. Really means the world to us over here, what we're trying to build out. So much momentum behind our community. I'm so excited for us. Yeah, we are getting somewhere finally in this XRP investment. And this is why I'm talking about and warning our community about the sell pressure, right? Think of how good it feels to be back to break even, to be back to making a 2x off your XRP. Even if you picked up at 20 cents and you're up 3x right now, right? How good that feels and how much better it's going to feel when you're at a 10x. When you turned your 10,000 into 100,000, because you picked up your bag at 20 cents and we go up to $2, you're going to be up 10x, right? And your 10,000 is going to turn into 100 grand. And you're going to think, oh, I can pay off my credit card. I could pay off my house. I could pay off my student loans, but maybe Bidenomics is going to write it off for me and I'm going to get my student loan forgiveness. So maybe I won't write off the student loan debt or I won't pay off the student loan debt, right? But you got to understand your personal situation because we're just getting started. There's going to be a lot of emotions. Emotions are going to be running high, right? And these exchanges are going to be shutting down and these exchanges aren't going to have liquidity. So be ready for that. Zach, any thoughts on Theta? Doesn't get me too excited. I think that YouTube and some of these other platforms are going to implement, DLT technology within their platforms, are going to introduce, pay a creator, you'll be able to pay your super chats. Excuse me. I'm surprised they actually haven't already implemented this, where you can pay your super chats with crypto. So I don't know. I think that it's going to take a lot to take away the power that YouTube has. I think, and a lot of people aren't fans of YouTube. Obviously, the censorship's been a little bit tight. People have their complaints about that. I got my own Rumble channel. But with that being said, I think that they just have such a share of this market, and it's going to take a lot. It's easier for them to just implement DLT versus, building a platform from the ground up and trying to get a billion users. There's probably hundreds of millions, if not a billion, people that use YouTube every month. To go from 0 to 1 billion users is a lot more difficult than to just enable crypto payments or launch their own token, which, Library tried it too, and I'm interested to see where Library goes now that the Library case is over. The company's basically shut down, but the token is still in existence and folks can still use it. It's still a platform that is available. Library was intended to be kind of like a decentralized YouTube. And so that's the thing, is I think that we just have to continue pressuring the likes of YouTube and these other platforms to bring about true decentralization, to stop the censorship, to stop all that, resistance to free speech. As long as it's not harmful content, it should be allowed by law. And so I think that we just have to continue to pressure these programs. But for me, Theta, I get the utility. I get the idea. I get the story. I haven't invested. Not financial advice. What do I think about Stellar? Well, Stellar is my number two. Like I shared with you guys, if you look up XLM Deep Dive, XLM Deep Dive will take you to the deep dive that I did on Stellar. But I'm a huge fan of Stellar. Huge fan. The connections run deep and the utility is basically the same as XRP. They copied XRP right from the start. They're copying XRP as far as all the automated market makers, all the NFTs, all the amendments that they're now making to XLM's code are the same things that are taking place with the XRP ledger. And I think that XLM definitely has a role, definitely has a part to play in this new financial system, 100%. HBAR, VET. I don't like playing this game. You guys know me with these other coins. They just don't turn me on. You guys don't want to ask me about my other coins because I don't get turned on by them. You guys don't want to hear what I have to say about these other coins. What turns me on is solving $1 trillion problems. It's what I've always said. With XRP, with XLM, with XDC, you look at the total addressable markets. Trade finance is a $19 trillion market that XDC is looking to tap into. The cross-border payments, I think, what is the most recent number we got? 200 trillion, 2 to 300 trillion, right? Just within cross-border payments. And that's a market that XLM and XRP are both going after too. So like I said, the $1 trillion problems is where it's at for me. You guys can invest in whatever you want. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap up this session, but if you guys want to join us in the Discord weekly call, we're going to be having a nice little fun hangout session, maybe a cold adult beverage. I'm going to turn my AC back on so I can cool down my office before that Discord hangout session. That's going to be at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You guys can get tapped in over at my website, ZachRichter.com. The other thing that we're running right now, guys, is we have a weekly special that we were running with our affiliate over there, Miles Franklin, CEO Andy Scheckman. We're going to be getting him back on the show here shortly, too. And if you guys are looking to get your precious metals rolled over from your 401k retirement account, we can do that along with shipping the metals directly to you. So just let us know. It's all over at my website, ZachRichter.com. If you're looking to get XRP or any of your other digital assets too, we have some of our trusted exchanges over at the website as well. With that being said, guys, I appreciate everyone for coming through for a Saturday night session. Please, on the way out, let's do me a favor. Smash that thumbs up. Make sure that you've hit that notification and subscribe. And if you guys can do me another favor by sharing this message far and wide, I would greatly appreciate you guys, and I hope you have a blessed weekend. I will see all of the Discord community in the Hangout session here in a couple hours. We'll see you.